So the first reactions for The Mandalorian and Grogu are coming in, and it's not going well for them.
It depends who you ask. It's very mixed, but it seems like it's either you really like it or you really don't like it. There's not really much middle ground.
Well, that's not going to be a crowd pleaser, right? Because
no.
Anytime a movie is divisive like that, especially Star Wars, when you're trying to bring people back into the fold, you're trying to get them excited to come back to Star Wars, and it's getting a mixed reception, that does not bode well for the box office.
Mm-mm. So I'm waiting to see what audiences say, because, you know, critics, you really can't trust critics half the time. So it's audiences that I'm interested in hearing from.
If people go, I think this one is going to play out. They're saying Solo. I think it might actually do worse than Solo, because they seem to be in full-on panic mode with the promotion. I think they know it's not looking too good. They just had something drop on Reddit the other day. Or no, this came from The Wrap, you know, friendly media. Star Wars, The Mandalorian, and Grogu surges in audience excitement. Like,
in
just
what in way? Based on what? Based on what?
I'm not feeling it. People are talking about a lot of other movies this summer. I mean, look, I could be very, very wrong, and it could wind up being the biggest damn thing this summer, but I don't think it's going to be.
I want to know what they're basing the audience surge in interest on. Like, you know, I don't know what they're basing it on. Like, not for ticket sales, because just a couple days ago, they were saying that it's probably going to bring in the North American market, at least. They're estimating for the entire run, 152 to 228 million.
So how they got this data, hold on, this is coming from The Wrap. They said Screen Engine ASI collects data via open-ended responses to what is the one upcoming entertainment release that you're most interested in watching.
So wait, they just ask people and then those that answer. And
right.
Who from 1,000 people, is that what it's like?
A 1,000 media consumers, 13 to 64.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, for God's sake.
That's really stupid. Reaching, guys. Whatevs.
Damage control, because now The reactions are out. They're not good. We got Pedro Pascal promoting the movie by kissing Stephen Colbert on the mouth. I mean, it's not going to go well. It's not going to go well for
them.
He's
not as popular as he used to be. I've noticed that. Like,
Pedro?
Yeah.
People are tired of him.
Oh, my God, it's Daddy. And now it's just like no one cares. I just don't care.
And nobody cares about Star Wars. So let's talk about this. Before we get into it any further, please subscribe for more pop culture news, views, and rants. Guys, get woohoo if you do.
Woohoo.
This episode brought to you by the Reefers over at more.clownfishtv.com. That's more, more.clownfishtv.com. You can become a reefer too for a few bucks a month. You can get some paywalled content and join the reef. And thank you very much for the support.
Real quick, the reason it's called the reef, people are like, I don't want to be a reefer. The reason is because clownfish live in reefs. And so
there you
it's we used to have a thing called web reef. So we call them the reef, and you're a reefer. That's the explanation. So
people know. They know they're reefers. Reefer madness, everybody. Reefer madness. All right. I think you'd have to be pretty stoned to want to go see Star Wars in the theaters.
I'm going to be seeing it, but that's just because I'm going to be like honest about it and give a review. And if it's good, I'll say so. I mean, I'm not going to lie just because that's what people want to hear. But if it sucks, I'm going to say so too. I'm not going to lie just because that's what other people want to hear.
So they said the first screenings were held on Thursday, and they did have Grogu on the red carpet, little animatronic Grogu probably coming to a theme park near you so he can get punted across the concrete by some Karen or something, you know. But the Mandalorian Grogu screenings were held on Thursday, and reactions from those coming out of the movie have been pretty starkly divided, with some calling it among Star Wars' worst features.
Yes. It's very divided. Like, I'm not joking. It's either there's not much middle ground. It's either one extreme or the other. And now this is not the review embargo. The review embargo is not up until, I want to say, the 19th. This is just the social media embargo that's up. So you can give your impression of the film, but you cannot do a full review yet.
They said that unlike the other movies, it's not part of the Skywalker saga. It's inspired by the Disney Plus series, The Mandalorian, and that may not have worked in its favor. There's a lot of homework. You have to watch all the shows.
Like, you have an audience who is used to watching on Disney Plus. They're not going to go to the theater because they know if they wait, it'll be on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Well, it's just it. It looks like a Disney Plus show. This is the same thing that happened with Captain America 4. It was just a continuation of Disney Plus. The Marvels, it was a continuation of Disney Plus. So Comic Book Resources said it was good. It's fun for the whole family. Some people, though, like entertainment reporter Jonathan Sim, felt differently. Sim calls The Mandalorian and Grogu one of the weakest Star Wars movies. He goes on to say it's an emotionless, predictable experience that doesn't push Din Djarin anywhere interesting. Dull, unexciting fight scenes, just CGI monsters, action figures mashed together, a long, colorless, made-for-TV movie.
Well, that's funny he said colorless because you were pointing that out too. But here's the thing too. Like a lot of people I saw that were commenting on it or that were giving their impressions had very few social media followers. And some of them were, you know, the Mando fan accounts. So, you know, right away, they're going to give it a glowing review, even if it wasn't great because they're huge Mando fans. You know, some of these you have to take and leave. I think the truth lies in the middle. Usually, unfortunately, there's not much middle here.
Yeah. We've got IO9 calling it a longer, bigger episode of the show. It has one or two standout scenes, but it feels much more interested in developing the story to new locations with new creatures than the characters.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's nice to have new locations and new characters because we didn't get squat from the Disney sequel trilogy in regards to that. So they had like this Richard Fink. He says, if you like The Mandalorian, you'll have a good time with The Mandalorian Grogu. If you don't, this won't change your mind. Little long and the script needed another pass, but I enjoyed the low-stakes adventure.
It's
clearly a product of Jon Favreau's specific interest. Okay. Another person, talk about the music. Everybody talks about, they keep saying the music is a strong suit. The score was Serenity. There's one of the Mando fan groups. This is a film that must be seen on the big screen if possible. It's an exciting, fun ride from start to finish, full of heart. What a wonderful movie from a mega fan site.
Oh, God, I can't wait for the Masters of the Universe fan sites to blow up about He-Man being the bestest thing ever. And it's going to be so nauseating.
Again, another thing, you know, here's the thing. I will give it a fair shake. If it's good, I'll say so. If it's not good, I will say so. You know, anybody who watches this knows I'll be honest. Another person, The Mandalorian Grogu, is fine in inoffensive, technically impressive spectacle that's kind of a snooze fest. Very much structured like an abridged season of the TV show, which unfortunately plays like watching the cutscenes of a Star Wars video game instead of playing one. Here's the thing. I believe that because when we saw that one scene where they were with the walkers, it's one thing I said. I said it reminds me of a video game cutscene.
Yeah.
And I said that then when I saw that part, it was like, and I love walkers, but I was like, I noticed that they had to make sure they put them, you know, oh, look, there's X-Wings. Oh, look, there's walkers, you know, to make sure, you know, it's like, there's huts. It's honest. It's like the old stuff you used to like, but all I kept thinking, all I kept getting from it was cutscene, video game cutscene. Another person, The Mandalorian Grogu, is a major return to form for Star Wars. All the things that make Star Wars special are here. Whimsy, adventure, weird monsters, action, heart, and rolling huts. The score is the beating heart. Star Wars fans should be thrilled by this.
I agree. It looks like a made-for-TV movie. It looks like, you know, instead of having the Ewoks battle for Endor or whatever, or the Caravan of Courage, we have The Mandalorian and Grogu.
It gets
Wednesday
better.
Night on ABC.
It gets better. So this wasn't too bad. The Mandalorian Grogu, the marketing had me worried, but this movie is actually a lot of fun. Yes, it does feel like a super-sized, high-budget few episodes of a TV show. Right. They're all admitting this. More of an adventure of the week than a huge galactic event story. If you like the show, you'll like this. But this next person. Mandalorian and Grogu, finally, they made a Star Wars for me to despise.
Oh, my God.
Some cute moments can't save it from the feeling terminally dull and offensively inoffensive. Feels like marathoning the blandest episodes of the show that are also totally inessential. A waste of time and potential.
Ouch. That's not good.
Yeah. So it just goes on.
This is what we talked about. Jonathan Sim, Junior Felix. Jaw-dropping sequences. Couldn't help but smile the whole way through the film. Look, it might be good. I'm going to be honest. It might be good, but...
If we go and see it, I've got a feeling, if I were a betting woman, I'm going to like it more than Neon's going to like it.
Yeah, probably.
Because usually I'm a lot more forgiving than... I'm a lot more forgiving than he is. I'm the Vader and he's the Emperor. But, you know...
Games Radar. The Mary Sue's Rachel Leishman called it a perfect expansion of what the show set up.
God, as soon as she says Rachel Leishman, it's like, I don't really fucking care what she says.
Truly the best outing yet for Baby Yoda and his dad, and also the best 20 minutes of a side quest to ever exist.
Wait, I love Star Wars
on the big screen.
Wait. So we got a movie, and I don't think it's a super long movie. I mean, I don't know, a couple hours. But 20 minutes of it is a side quest?
Yeah. So this is, again, it's come from Games Radar. Their own senior entertainment writer, Molly Edwards, called it so much fun. So women seem to like it more. So much fun. A big, exciting summer blockbuster.
They probably will, because when we looked at this, the chart they had before, where, you know, Star Wars skews more male, Marvel occasionally crosses over to women, but that Star Wars stayed in, you know, male dominated. The closest they got to crossing over into female audience, dominated audience, was The Mandalorian. That was the closest it got. So it makes sense. But, and it's because Baby Yoda, because of Grogu. That's why the women are like it. Like, oh, it's a baby. My ovaries. And that's why they're like liking it. So I'm thinking that's probably, you know, why women, you're getting a stronger reaction from women.
My ovaries.
Sorry, I'm just saying. Well, you girls know what I'm talking about.
Oh, my ovaries. So this is... ComingSoon.net on Yahoo said it's tracking like Solo, but there's a big difference. And they're saying it might actually do worse than Solo overall. Is that right?
Well, that's what they're talking. It's not going to do great. They're talking 80 to 90, somewhere in the range for the opening. And then I told you what they said for that. They said the big difference is that its budget's lower. So it's going to have to make less to break even. They're saying that they're expecting, it has to do, I forget, they said like 400 and some
like
million.
Like 414
and like 50 million or something like that to break even. And it's a possibility, because that's a little bit more than what the entire run of Solo did. However, it's still tracking below Solo. So unless it like really, really does better than Solo, if it does the same, it's not going to profit.
No.
And that's if the budget stays what they think it is, because a lot of times it goes way higher.
I don't think it's going to do that well. I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe the ovary factor. Maybe I didn't take the ovaries into consideration like I should have. But I am just feeling like it's not going to do great. And this just reeks of desperation, this whole thing that they're trying to be like, everybody's super excited for The Mandalorian and Grogu. I'm like, no, they're not.
And it's
they're not.
Kathleen Kennedy was there, too. Because she's still a producer on this stuff. So, of course, she's showing up. But,
she's popped in because she had to get the shit off her desk.
And she's popped like, well, in because she was, don't forget about me. I got it in my face. She was one that was so mad because she keeps claiming that Grogu was her idea, and they're like, no, it really wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
She's just like, but that's why people are coming. I mean, because they want Baby Yoda, because that's why I think that's $600 Baby Yoda sold out?
No, I think that's actually the $6 million Baby Yoda they use in the show.
I don't know.
For $600,000.
I thought someone said it was the one that was $600. I don't know. I didn't buy one, so I couldn't tell you.
All right. So this is... this is a couple of days ago, too. This is in the box office. It said, could The Mandalorian and Grogu be the first Disney Star Wars movie with a major disparity between its domestic and international box office grosses?
International is all that's going to save it at this point.
Yeah.
Because they're not predicting much from American audience. The high end, $250 million for the full run for North America. So unless you get a huge audience from overseas, it's not going to look good.
Well, okay, that's the problem. Because they're saying that typically... the other Star Wars movies, even Solo, it was almost a 50-50 split. And this came from Reddit, by the way, the box office subreddit. But Solo was like a 50-50 split. Rise of Skywalker was like 48 domestic, 53 international. They're saying that so far, this one is tracking well under the other overseas releases.
Because if they did a 50-50 and it came in at the high end of what they're expecting, then they will break even and make some money.
Yeah.
If they get the 50-50. If they do not, then they'll be lucky if they break even.
They think this one's going to be more of a 70-30. They said that they think the international gross might only be 100 to 125 million.
For the whole time or just for opening? For the whole time. Oh, that's bad. Because if they're talking 250 the high end and you get 100, you're talking 350, not enough to break even. Even 125, that's not going to put it in a break even area.
No, I think they know. I think they know this one's kind of a bust. I mean, really, I don't
spend so much money on marketing. Much money.
I don't think that this one is going to be a good indication of where Star Wars is. I think Starfighter is going to be the make or break, because that's going to be like a completely new movie.
I would say yes, but I think if this one does bad, I don't know. I just don't know how people are going to feel. If this is bad, it might check more people out. You know, they should not have put this one out first. And they should have done this one years ago. This one should never be a movie. It should have been the fourth season. Or they should have done it like 4 years ago when people cared.
You know, people gave a shit. Yeah.
You waited too long far too long. And then, and you know what, Pedro Pascal, he was doing, everybody thought he was great last year. No one talks about him and not much in a positive way this year.
No, that is true.
You know, well, and he's just out there, like, you know, getting to him. Yeah, he's going too far. And, you know,
yeah, I'm sure this is versus Smoosh.
You think you missed it because at the beginning, because he was like tapping his lips.
Oh, there we go. There's the kiss, everybody. I'm sorry, Pedro Pascal, not a straight man. Those are not straight man pants.
Well, the thing is, they were banking on women having the hot storm. Now women know they have no chance. They just don't care now. And that was audience, and the audience they're going for with Fantastic Four and with Mandalorian were female. I mean, let's be honest, it's more of a female audience for those shows. And that's what they were going for. And now the women are just like, you know, no, thank you. That, you know, they're losing that.
He is not a straight, like, I would look at this guy.
I mean, I haven't thought he was a straight guy for a long time, but you know.
Like, you'd see this guy out, like, in a restaurant or something, and be like, okay, he's waiting for his boyfriend. I mean, seriously, that's
well, the vibe. Well, I'm pretty sure he has a boyfriend right now, but you know. Yeah. And that's fine. It's just that, you know, I'm not surprised. But that's the audience you're recording, they're not interested.
Ovaries closed.
Ovaries are closed. That's right. You have to show Baby Yoda. You have to show Baby Yoda that. Yeah, for that to not that way, but you know what I mean.
Baby Yoda makes his ovaries hurt.
I'm sorry. Oh, I'm just God. Like, I just don't see why people want to see this as a movie. It was a show. And even as the last season of the show, it was a shitty show. It's been going downhill for a while because of poor choices. And then they're like, oh, we're going to go put it as a movie. And it's like, you know, 4 years too late. And 4 years too late. The damage has been done. That was your best chance of getting people excited about Star Wars again. And you totally flushed that one by season three and by the movie for sure. So if enough give a shit's left over for Starfighter, they're going to have to show some really, really impressive and exciting things to get the audience back. I would love to see it do well, but I also think it's going to be a huge uphill battle if this one does badly.
Yeah, well, they'll probably bank on Project Hail Mary because they'll be like, oh, Ryan Gosling, spaceships. You like Ryan Gosling and spaceships, right?
Maybe, but I mean, a lot of people like Ryan Gosling, but I also think that people just have something I never thought I'd say. I mean, years ago, I would never believe that the people just don't care about Star Wars anymore. They found a way. Like, Star Wars will always be relevant until Disney bought it. And then they found a way to make it completely, like, obsolete and no one gives a shit about it.
And it's like people were like, hey, it can't get any worse than the prequels. The prequels are pretty terrible, right? Like, it can't get any worse, right? Right? Oh, my God. Yeah, Disney killed Star Wars in 10 years. Less than 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's unreal. The most bankable evergreen pop culture IP on the planet, and you killed it in less than a decade. Congratulations.
Yep.
All right, we're gonna wrap it up.
Yep.
Please subscribe for more pop culture news, views, and rants. We'll talk later.
Bye.